Students who want to enter the medical profession, talk to these students.
If you love people and you have a keen desire to become a physician or a surgeon, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. We're rapidly approaching a time where we're going to be working for the government. Some say, well, that's going to be a plus, and some say that's going to be a minus. Great Britain's had it since 1948. Lloyd George, Prime Minister, got this program established, and in the beginning they were all against it, literally. The British Medical Association voted 95% against it. Now, everyone there has become accustomed to it. They've all joined the bandwagon.
When you say eventually you'll all be working for the government,
yes,
why do you say that? Is that because here we are in 2010, this health reform bill has just passed?
I think it's going to be the beginning of a long process where we'll have a national health service. They will be in charge of all the medicine in America.
Everybody has an opinion, and let's have one here in 2010, because students will listen to this 50 years from now.
Yes.
What is your view of this health reform bill? Do you think it was good?
I think this. We need to do a couple of three things. Insurance company regulations. Fee regulation for major surgical illness. Not complete control. If you destroy the doctor-patient relationship, I think we've done great harm. Certainly we don't want to go to our physician and get all the care that we might get at the post office. I don't think we want that. If that student really has a strong desire to become a physician or a surgeon, I would say go ahead and study and do it. Go ahead and do it if that's what you want. I think it will be different in the future. It's going to be different. It probably won't be as lucrative to be a surgeon. Whether that will discourage men and women from going into it, I don't know. But it may.
Yeah.
It may.
Like in our new law, the $250 rebate to Medicare prescription drug beneficiaries who reach the coverage gap called the donut hole, provide immediate access to high-risk pools for people with no insurance because of pre-existing conditions, bars insurers from denying people coverage when they get sick, denying coverage to children with pre-existing conditions, imposing lifetime caps on coverage. It bars insurers from that. Requires insurers to allow young people to stay on their parents' policies until they turn 26. So maybe 50 years from now, people will look at this and they'll either say, that program worked or it didn't work, or I can't believe these people weren't covered before. And we're finally now taking care of it in 2010.
Right.
So I don't know if you have any view on what the bill does, not talking about what it may cost, but I'm just talking about the face value of the bill.
Well, you could just say on those points that you've mentioned that those are all good things. I've always felt that no one should charge a patient excessively. My professor was keen on that, not charging a great deal. He mentioned that our specialty is absolutely essential. If you're with a neurological problem that's life-endangering, that's absolutely essential to have that help, and absolutely you cannot price your work out of the range of the average person. He was keen on that, teaching us that. And we never charge exorbitant fees.
Yeah.
I hear of $50,000 surgeries for a knee replacement. That would be all foreign to doctors in my era.
And I might add, this bill then expands health insurance coverage to 32 million people. Now, the cost over 10 years is $938 billion.
Yes.
And so for the people who are listening 25 years from now, that may seem like a small number 25, 50 years from now, but it's a huge number right now.
It's a huge number, and we've got to get our economy back on its feet in order to pay for this. I think everyone means well by what they're doing. Will it be the best in the end? I'm not sure. It's hard to beat the free enterprise system. It depends upon how much freedom will the physician or surgeon have in his practice. The insurance companies, the drug companies, they've not really been as helpful as I think they should be.
I had a well-known man in the hospital field tell me that he thought in years to come that hospitals would be just utilities like Public Service Company of Oklahoma, and that those who run hospitals would go to research and maybe clinics. Referring probably to what you just said, it would almost be government-like, or they'd just be a utility of our hospital.
Yes. if they could eliminate some of the middle management expense. We're to a time when the CEO of a hospital might have salaries in the millions. I don't believe they're going to be able to continue doing that. Their salaries have to be commensurate with their work, but not excessive, like they've been getting.
Seems that if a doctor saves a person's life, that family would be willing to give them millions of dollars because they saved their loved one. Some people begrudge doctors, I think, some of their money, but I'm on the other side of that. I think, well, what have they done here? They've prolonged a person's life, certainly improved maybe the quality of his life.
Yes.
And how can you put a price tag on that?
I agree. I think that the whole administrative costs have just gotten out of hand. Mm-hmm. They've just gotten out of hand. That a hospital administrator needs a good salary. I don't know what Lloyd Verrett made. He was an excellent hospital administrator. I'm just guessing his salary was $200,000 a year, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Sister Blondine, an excellent manager over there at St. Francis Hospital. No salary that I'm aware of, an order of sisters. She was an excellent manager. As far as I'm aware, Mr. Warren didn't have any salary, Warren Sr. This was one of his pet projects, St. Francis Hospital. During that era, it was well run with Ferret, with Sister Blondine, with Mr. Warren, Warren Sr. They could run the whole thing well and not much problems. Things have become much more complicated since those days. But we've got executives over there with salaries of millions. We don't have any physicians over there with salaries like that. Now, it's the physician that has to go in and see the child with the meningococcal meningitis, take care of them. The administrator's not going to be there. That's our job, and of course, most of us love the work that we were doing and are doing. I think in the beginning, a good surgeon could make a good living, and everyone else sort of came along and usurped that power. The surgeon was in charge of that operating room. There's no doubt about it. Today, perhaps a senior nurse is in charge of that operating room, really.
Hmm.
We've lost authority. The hospitals envision all doctors on salary working for the hospital. One large check coming from the government. The top administrative officials will take off their millions. What's left is going to be divided up among the doctors. Now, just how that will go, I'm not certain, but I don't think it's going to work very well.